Good morning. Even though the book of Revelation is a very visual book, this morning I want for us to focus on two sounds. These are our hearing. Focus on two sounds that we find in Revelation 10. And if this works, I'm going to play them for you. I just want you to close your eyes and listen to the sounds that John heard in this chapter. That was number one. Hope you're awake. Here's number two. Lions and thunder. Those are both warning sounds, aren't they? When a lion roars, that means it's lunchtime, and that means somebody going to die. And thunder happens when there's a storm coming, and the clouds are rubbing together, and you have a warning of lightning and then thunder. And then storms of judgment in Revelation. And these are what John heard in verse 3 of our chapter, talking about this angel. It says, "And he cried out with a loud voice as when a lion roars. And when he had cried out, the seven peals of thunder uttered their voices." So almost simultaneously, John hears these two amazing sounds, which I think probably frightened him. But before we get into that, let's just review where we are in the book of Revelation. We are in judgments. We have seen the six seals of judgment in chapter 6, the peace and then war or anarchy, however you look at it, famine, death, martyrs calling out for vengeance from under the altar, and then an earthquake that shakes the world and kills one quarter of the world's population. And then we had this pause a couple of weeks ago in Revelation 7, where we met two groups of people. We met the 144,000. And I will just pause because I think in that message I promised to explain why the number 12 is so important, and I forgot to do that. So we had the 144,000 Jews, which is 12 tribes of Israel times 12,000. And I didn't talk about why that's so important. But it seems that when God wants to start to govern something, he begins with 12. Abraham's oldest son, Ishmael. Abraham's oldest son, Ishmael, when he goes off the scene because he's not the chosen one, but God gives him 12 sons and they become 12 rulers in Genesis, which represent the Arab nations today. Later on, God starts his own chosen people through Jacob or Israel, and he has 12 sons who become the 12 tribes of Israel, and they're represented here in Revelation. And then when Jesus wants to start his kingdom on earth, he chooses 12 disciples. And so 12 is related to governing. And that's all I was going to say about that. So we went to, we saw the 144,000, we saw the great multitude in heaven who are praising God, and John learns that they are from the great tribulation, something that still hasn't happened. And then we have the six trumpets that we spent the last 2 weeks on, Revelation 8 and 9. So I don't know about you, but I get all of these judgments mixed up in my mind. And so something that helps me to keep them straight is I put songs to each one. We had a lovely night last night celebrating Christmas carols. And I just want to thank everyone who was involved in that because it was just really an enjoyable time. And I thought I would just carry it over, the tradition of Christmas songs, and put Revelation to Christmas music. So here we go. Hail, fire, blood, a third of the earth burns. One third of sea creatures die. Fresh water turns bitter and sun, moon, and stars go out and don't light up the sky. Number five, the locusts flying out of the abyss. Six fire-breathing lion heads kill one-third of mankind. These are the trumpets of Revelation 8 and 9. If that works for you, fine. If not, no charge. So that brings us to Revelation 10. And I should just observe that as we look at these judgments of Revelation, we're not even halfway through the book, and we've already gone through two of the three major series of judgments that are coming down. And Revelation, the book, spends only four out of 22 chapters, less than one-fifth of the book is dedicated to these series of judgments. I think if we were going to do a film, a Hollywood film on Revelation, you'd have like 90% of the film on these judgments because they're so action-packed and they're so man-centered. And we're so man-centered. Why only four chapters out of 22 given to these outrageous things that are happening as the earth convulses and hail and fire are coming out of the air and people are running around? Well, I think there are two reasons. One is that it's not a man-centered book, it's a God-centered book. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's where our focus should be. And number two, as we're going to see in chapter 10, it's not about the judgments, it's about repenting. It's about warning. It's about the warning of the thunder and the warning of the lion that this is not where God wants us to end up. He has a gift for us and he wants us to respond to that gift. But people aren't responding and this is what's happening. So we're going to look at three warnings, Lord willing, this morning. Three warnings that John receives. One is going to be the thunders. One is going to be the announcement of the seventh angel, trumpet angel, which we haven't seen, it's still coming. And one's going to be the little scroll. And so we're going to look at, well, I think we're supposed to read the text. Yes, let's read the text. It's a great chapter to read. It's only 11 verses, and it's just packed. So here we go. Revelation chapter 10, verse 1. I saw another strong angel coming down out of heaven, clothed with a cloud, and the rainbow was upon his head, and his face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book, which was open. He placed his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land, and he cried out with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. And when he had cried out, the seven peals of thunder uttered their voices. When the seven peals of thunder had spoken, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal up the things which the seven peals of thunder have spoken, and do not write them. Then the angel, whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land, lifted up his right hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things in it, and the earth and the things in it, and the sea and the things in it, that there will be delay no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, then the mystery of God is finished, as he preached to his servants the prophets. Then the voice which I heard from heaven, I heard again speaking with me and saying, go take the book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the land. So I went to the angel, telling him to give me the little book. And he said to me, take it and eat it. It will make your stomach bitter, but in your mouth it will be sweet as honey. I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it. And in my mouth it was sweet as honey. And when I had eaten it, my stomach was made bitter. And they said to me, you must prophesy again concerning many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. May God bless his reading of the word. Wow. Wow. What a chapter. So, we have, first of all, the angel that's announcing these things, that's announcing these warnings. And my thanks to Gabby Sevilla, our artist, in-house artist, who gave us her rendering of what this might look like. It said his face was like fire, like the sun. And his feet were like pillars of fire. There is a rainbow upon his head. And he places his feet, one on the land and one on the sea. And he's going to raise his hand up toward heaven. And we're tempted to think, could this be Jesus? Jesus is described with eyes like fire and feet like burnishing bronze. But we know it's not Jesus, because while Jesus has a lot of titles in Revelation, like the Alpha and the Omega and the Son of Man and the Lamb, another angel is not one of his titles. He is the center of angelic worship. He's not another angel. But we see this angel, and we see an angel that we really haven't heard of at all, speaking with authority that we haven't heard from angels. The land and the sea and the heaven shows he has authority. He represents God's authority over all these things. And we notice in this beautiful book a progression of intensity. As we go further and further into it, things get more pow and more wow. The judgments are more severe. A quarter of mankind perishes with the earthquake in Revelation 6. And then a third of mankind perishes with the trumpets. And so far, angels have just been angels. But this angel's got a face you can't even see, because it's like the sun. He's got all of this authority. Instead of just saying things, he swears with an oath by the creator of heaven and earth when he talks. And instead of just saying things with a loud voice, his voice is like a lion. It's ramping up. It's ramping up. As the judgments come, the intensity is ramping up. And we're not even halfway through the book yet. So, we hear the peals of thunder. The angel spoke as a lion, and then seven peals of thunder are going off. Seven times. And apparently there is a message in each peal of thunder, because John is about to write them down. I can imagine that John is on his face after hearing the lion and the thunder, and he's just recovering himself. And it's like, where's my pen? Like, you know, I got to get this down. And then there's a voice, a new voice, not the angel's voice, but a voice from heaven, which usually is God. We have a voice from heaven that's not specified, saying, don't write it down. Seal it up. Close it up. Wow. What's that all about? What was the message? What were the messages in each of the peals of thunder? Well, I'm going to tell you, I don't know, because John didn't write them down. But here's what we can figure out from thunder. And from these this little scene, first of all, we can be confident that these are judgments that are coming down that John heard, because the judgments always come in seven, right? The seals and the trumpets and the bowls that are coming later in Revelation 16. And we have these seven peals of thunder. And thunder always, often, I can't say always, but often precedes judgment in the Bible and certainly in the book of Revelation. In Exodus 19:19, when God is giving the law to Moses on the mountain, Mount Sinai, and there's all this lightning and things happening, God is giving the law with its judgments, and Israel is getting a view of the holiness of God. And it says, when the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke and God answered him with thunder. Alright? Before the law and the judgments came thunder. And we have the trumpet. And we've been talking about trumpets in Revelation. And then in each of the series of judgments in Revelation, we have thunder before the judgment. The six seals, Revelation 6:1. Then I saw when the Lamb broke one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying as with a loud voice of thunder, come. And then we have the six seal judgments. And then the seventh seal is the trumpet judgment. And when that happens in Revelation 8, it says, then the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and threw it to the earth. And there followed peals of thunder and sounds and flashes of lightning and an earthquake. So we see that angel, he just whipped that censer of fire. And as those judgments were coming down on the earth, more thunder. Thunder and judgment. So John hears these seven peals of thunder, these judgments that are coming down. Maybe they were the seven bowls of wrath that are going to come. I don't know. But it was not the time for them to be revealed, which piques our anticipation. What else is going to happen in this chapter? So, before the angel speaks, he makes this oath. He lifts his hands, just like you do in a court of law. He lifted his right hand to heaven and swore by him who created the heavens and the things in it, and the earth and the things in it, and the sea and the things in it. Reminding us that God created all things and is worthy of worship because he is creator. And reminding us that these things, the sea and the earth, are the things that we just saw judged in the trumpet judgments. He's not just saying something, he's making an oath and swearing by God. Why? I think the thunder and the oath means that what the angel is going to say next is really, 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 really important. Okay? So let's see what he says. There will be delay no longer, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, then, let's just look at that phrase in verses 6, the end of 6 and 7. The angel's saying that there's not going to be any more delay, John. What's coming down is coming down. No more pause buttons. No more take your time and think about it. The clock is running, and it's going to keep running. And so look at those three references that I've put in bold to time. In the days, when, then. Saying three times that it's coming. It's not a question of if, but when. Now, why would that be a big thing for us? Because we live in an age where God has been delaying judgment. He's been delaying judgment for over 2,000 years. He has offered a gift and it's been ignored. And we just expect that this is how God is. He's not really going to come. He's not really going to deliver these things. And there's no fear of God. And there's no expectation of judgment. So when the angel says there will be no more delay, we need to listen. Because we're delay fish, like Nemo's dad said. We live in an age of delay and we just think it's all okay. Even back in the 14th and 15th centuries, people saw God's judgment and they lived with a fear of God's judgment. And we've lost that. And many people say that's a sign of progress in our society, that we don't have to listen to these myths. It's all about science. And so it's not going to happen. And we need to be careful that we're not like the mockers that Peter warned about in 2 Peter 3:4, who say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. Where's the judge? Used to be a Flip Wilson, really dating myself, an old comedian who used to say, here come the judge. And it was like a gag, you know? It was a joke. Well, this angel is saying, here comes the judge. No joke. And let's just look at what the people say. Ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. Let me ask you, is all continuing in 2018 just as it has been since the days of creation? Well, in one sense, yes, we have wars and floods and fires since the day of creation. But there's something different. The intensity of our floods and fires and earthquakes and hurricanes, they're increasing. They're increasing year by year. We just had last month California's most destructive fire in the history of California. And it was only superseded by the fire the year before, last year. Last year was the Tubbs fire. That had been, for 1 year, the most destructive fire in California history. And now a year later, we have the most destructive fire in California history. The floods last year were historic in their damage. Harvey and Irma, the most destructive flooding we've ever had before in our history. I don't know about the flood, but since we've been talking about floods in America, things are ramping up. God is saying, it's not going to be forever. I'm not going to wait forever. There's a time, and these things that you're going through right now, these fires and hurricanes and earthquakes, are nothing compared to what's coming. You want to see a fire? Look at the first trumpet. A third of the earth burned. Right? You want to talk about global warming? Go to Revelation 16, where the sun is poured out and men are scorched with heat as with fire. And the issue isn't CO2 emissions. The issue is sin emissions. The issue is our refusal to acknowledge and thank and give honor to a Creator God that has been waiting patiently for over 2,000 years to avenge Himself on generations who have refused His gift, the Lord Jesus. That's what's coming, and there will be no delay. And if you don't get that, then you're in danger. Peter later on explains why the delay. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Repentance. Repentance is not a word about works that you do. It's about a change of mind. It's about agreeing with God that I'm the problem. God, you're not the problem. I'm the problem. And I've been living my life on my own standards and in my own way. I'm like a sheep that's gone astray. But you're the good shepherd. I want to follow you now. I want to repent. And we see the last verse of chapter 9 that Bill covered last week. And they did not repent of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their immorality, nor of their thefts. So we have another chapter of God patiently warning. He's using thunder, and He's using the angel that's coming. We've had 6 trumpet angels, right? Each with a judgment. The 7th indicates a transition into the next phase of judgments. Remember, the 7th angel of the seals introduced the judgment of the trumpets. And this 7th angel is going to come up at the end of chapter 11. And he is going to introduce the next series of judgments. But we're not going to see them until chapter 16. And so John is warning us. God is warning us. The angel is warning us. There is a time where you cannot turn back. And it's coming. There will be no more delays. Then the mystery of God is finished, verse 7, as He preached to His servants the prophets. Things aren't finished yet. We're in Revelation 10. But they will be finished. When that 7th angel sounds off, it's over. Cards in. No rematch. No redo. No reset. We've been talking about this. God's been talking to His prophets centuries BC, and He's been warning us. And He warned the prophets, and He told them what would happen. And one of those prophets was Daniel. And we talked about Revelation being the 70th week. These judgments are the 70th week for Israel and for the world. And the angel in Daniel 9:24 is explaining to Daniel, 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and for your holy city, all right, the Jews in Jerusalem. To what? To finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make atonement for iniquity, to bring in everlasting to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. So look at those words: finish, end, seal up, close it. That's Revelation. That's where we are. That's what's happening. Do you get it? Do you get it? Before we get to the warning of the little book, we've looked at 2 warnings so far. We've looked at the warning of the thunders. We've looked at the warning of the announcement of this important 7th angel. It's going to come up in chapter 11. Because when he makes his announcement, when he sounds off, that's the last series of judgments. There's no more 7th angel announcing another judgment, because the 7 judgments of the bowls of wrath are it. It's done. It's over. And so, in 2018, we should consider, how close are we to all of this coming down? And what should be our response? What does God want from me? What am I supposed to do? There was a man who survived the Holocaust. If I pronounce his name right, it was Eli Wiesel. And he said that the opposite of love is not hate, but the opposite of love is indifference. Have we been indifferent to God? Have we been indifferent? Have you been indifferent to the God who got you up this morning and fed you breakfast? The God who is causing the blood to course through your veins and arteries? Who is carrying the oxygen from your lungs into that blood so that you have energy to take the next breath, to take the next step, to utter the next word? That's how entirely dependent you and I are on the God that we've been ignoring. But you know, it might not be, you might not have to wait till Revelation for the end to come. Betsy Williams was in a car accident this morning, and God spared her. But any of us could go home and not make it home. The end could come for any of us at any time. 12 people walked into a bar in October in Thousand Oaks. I think they were expecting to come home that night, but they didn't. They were shot by a shooter, showing the kind of anarchy that we see in the seals, Revelation. The second, Revelation 6, the second seal, right? Violence. People just acting out. At least 100 people were probably planning Christmas and who to spend it with in Paradise, California last month when the flames came so quickly they had no time to get out. Flames like the flames in Revelation that are coming to burn a third of the world. In the trumpet judgment. The end could come a lot quicker than Revelation for any of us. So, what is God looking for? He's looking for us to acknowledge that He took care of our problem. He took care of the whole book of Revelation, the whole problem, the whole sin problem. Revelation didn't have to happen. If we just responded to God's gift, He sent His only begotten Son. He became flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ had no sin. He became sin for us. He died on a cross. He took all of our sins. He was buried. He rose again. And it's all good. It can be all good for everybody in this room. And the only thing that's stopping us from enjoying that joy that He has for us is our own selves, our own resistance, our own walls, our own rebellion, our own indifference. We talked about chapter 7, the multitude. They have white robes. Why are they white? Because they're washed by the blood of the Lamb. There's one God and one mediator between God and man. There is one way out of this. There is one way out of this mess that is earth and that is my life and your life with sin. And that is Jesus Christ. And it's 2018. And it won't be 2018 for much longer. So we have the last warning. John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So this is it. What do you need to do to have eternal life? Put your trust in God. Make the decision to follow Him. Put your trust in what Jesus did. Believe. But if you don't obey by believing, then we're in Revelation 10, and the wrath of God abides on you. Okay, the last warning. We've got the warning of the thunder. We've got the warning of the seventh angel. And now we have the warning of the little book. What's written in the little book? Why is it little? I don't know. But something interesting happens. John eats the book. He has this conversation. First of all, again, the repetition showing how important all this is. The voice from heaven, God himself says, go take the book, all right? And then so John goes to the angel, supposed to take the book. Yes, take the book and eat it. It will be honey. And then it will be like bitter in your stomach. Well, I guess when an angel like that is talking, you got to do what he says, right? So John does this, and it happens just the way it says. Fortunately, we have precedent in this in the Bible so that we can kind of know what's happening here. In the book of Ezekiel, that's right, he took it and he ate it, and it happened. It was sweet, and then it was bitter in his stomach. In the book of Ezekiel, when Ezekiel was just being given his ministry at the beginning of Ezekiel, he is being commissioned by God. And God does the same thing to Ezekiel. He gives him a book or a scroll, tells him to eat it, and it's sweet, like honey in his mouth. But then he went away embittered in the rage of his spirit, and the hand of the Lord was strong on him. The word of God is sweet. The psalmist talks about the word of God being like honey. But the kinds of words that Ezekiel and John are receiving are judgments. They're not tidings of good news and joy. They're judgment. And so as they process and digest it, it's bitter. And Ezekiel went away bitter partly because he knew that God told him, they're not going to listen to you. They're not going to listen to you. Are you going to listen to him today? Going to listen to him this morning? It's the most important decision you'll ever make. Whether to repent, to get on God's side of this equation and say, let's deal. I accept the gift. I surrender and I receive full pardon. It sounds like a good deal. I'll take it. But if you don't take it, the wrath of God abides on you. And then the last thing, it says, they said to me. Now we have the voice of heaven and the angel together showing really, really, really important what they're going to say. They said to me, you must prophesy again concerning many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. It's not over yet, John. I've just told you about the angel that's coming and it will be over, but there's still 12 more chapters, and you need to just chill, and you're going to announce those prophecies against the kings and nations and tongues and peoples. So this is the last message of Revelation in 2018. And it's really usually not good practice to end a message by introducing a new text. But I am, just this verse from Amos has been on my mind. And I think it's a really great summary as to where we are right now in the book of Revelation. Amos says, surely the Lord does nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets. God always warns us. Why? Because he loves us. He loves us, and he doesn't want to see us go down this road. He warned Adam and Eve in the garden what would happen if they ate the fruit. He warned Abraham, your people are going to be in Egypt for 400 years. He warned Noah, and through Noah, 100 years, preaching about the flood. No one responded. He warned Moses and the Jews time and time again through Moses. If you keep down this road, this is what's going to happen. You're going to be scattered. You're not going to be in your land anymore. And that's what happened. And he warned us over and over that he's going to send his Messiah. And he sent his Messiah. And here we are. And this is the last message on Revelation. In 2018. And you're going to go from here. And you're going to talk about Christmas. And we're going to go home and have Christmas. And we're going to meditate on the incredible mystery of incarnation, that God became flesh and dwelt among us. And that is good and right to do. But as you go home and as you meditate on the incarnation, I have one question for you. One question that I hope just burns a hole in your head every time you think about the manger this Christmas. And that is, are we closer historically to the first coming of Jesus or to the second coming? Are we closer to the first coming in the Gospels or to the second coming in Revelation? Some observations. The promise of the Messiah was given to Abraham 2,000 years before Christ. Abraham received a promise that in his seed would be a blessing to all the nations, and that was Jesus. And 2,000 years later, Jesus came. And 2,000 years later, I'm sorry, that's where we are right now, isn't it? Oh, wait, so 2,000 years, and then 2,000 years, and Do you really think he's going to wait 2,000 more years? If the answer is no, then we are closer to the second coming than we are to the first. And we should meditate on it as much or more than the first coming. Yes, go home, celebrate Christmas. But read Revelation. Read the next 12 chapters. Meditate on it if you believe that we are closer to the second coming than the first, because it should affect our lives. It should affect what we think about. It should affect our outlook. I am amazed that we are the generation that gets to live exactly 2,000 years after Christ walked this earth. That amazes me. I think that's fascinating. That 2,000 years ago, exactly today, Jesus was somewhere between 12 and 18 years old, depending on the timeline you use. But he was here. He was accomplishing his ministry. And we have the privilege of being here 2,000 years later and impacting how things are going to go in the next 5, 10, 20, 25 years until he comes back. Let's think about it this Christmas. Father, we just praise you. We thank you that you are a loving God and you have patiently waited longer than any of us would have waited to avenge yourself. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the gift of Christmas. Help us to take heed to the warnings, Lord, to the signal lights that are flashing so loudly in this book of Revelation. Help us to take heed. Help us to repent and live the way that you would have us live. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.